I knew that club way back in the 70s, and they didn't have a pitch. We were a junior, and I was back giving them a hand, and there were junior players, like, but good players, and they trained in the farmers' field at night.
The Maroon and White Pod, brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
Now you're welcome along to the Maroon and White Pod. I'm delighted to be joined by Chunky Hayes and Sir Farrell to look back on Thomas's extraordinary victory over O'Loughlin Gales, where they ran out of winners on a scoreline of 18 points to 17. Congratulations to Thomas's, and the celebrations this week in Peterswell and Kilcreest are going to go right into the week, and rightly so for what they have achieved. Chunky, coming to you first as a player who's won the Tommy Moore Cup. It's day two, day three now. What are these celebrations and what are these times like as a group of players now?
Hi, Paul. Hey, sir. First of all, I suppose congratulations to St. Thomas's. As regards the celebrations, Jesus, day three. I suppose I seen a couple of videos there. I think it was, could have been day one or two. I'm not sure. I seen David Burke up on some lad's shoulders, and seen Fintan Burke. I think he was singing a couple of songs. So brought back a couple of good memories, all right, yeah. Yeah, sure, they're unbelievable days, you know. They're unbelievable days. The same with any level of a final, do you know what I mean? Be it with the county or with the club, but there's definitely something special with the club, because, you know, going back, say they're going back to the lads in Kilcreest, or we would have went back to the people at Portumna, and yeah, there's just something special about it, you know. Something special about going back to your own, winning with your club, all your mates, etc., you know.
Did it bring back a lot of memories when you're seeing this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it does. I suppose every year, how would you explain it? Every year the club final does. Yeah, sure. Look, at we were there five times. We had four good wins, and yeah, sure. Look, at they were great days, and it's a long time ago now, I suppose.
And Cyril, for yourself, as winning a lot as a manager, just, I suppose, when it's a few days now in for management and players, is this where it kind of starts to kick in of what the players have actually achieved?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a fantastic win. When you win an All-Ireland, say, beat the Munster champions, Ballygunner, fantastic team, great game, and then you beat the Leinster champions, and, like, I know you don't, it doesn't matter who you beat in the final, but, like, to me, beating a Kilkenny team is icing on the cake, because they're very hard to beat, and they can prove that again. And, like, the lads getting it as Chunky says, like, the Portum lads won four. Now, Thomas have won one before this, and they've been there, thereabouts. Like, and was it 2 years ago against Ballyhale, played fantastic stuff and got caught with a super goal. But this kind of, this would kind of redeem or forget all about the bad days. And, like, when you get tough days, you appreciate the good days. And that's why these guys deserve to celebrate well. But they had a fantastic year. But when you look at it, like, there's 9 or 10 of them there for the last few years. Is it 2011 to won the last? It's a long time ago, like, but they're still holding, which is a testament to them. Like, you know, and they've come back from injury. They had David Burke this year. You had Shane Cooney last year. James Regan. You had Sherry coming back. And then, unfortunately, get kind of injured again. Like, these, you know, these guys are... they're fantastic men, really. Like, you know, they have a great squad together. They have a good club behind them. But, like, you'd have to say every year they nearly have, every 2 years or that, they have a new management team, and they're bringing success all through. It's a big one for Kenneth Burke, because his father brought the first one, John Burke. Kenneth was playing. And now to think that, John Burke is still going strong. He's back with Kilbeck. They're here again this year. But, like, to think that his son, you know, managed the team again and kind of coached them and through the boys on the pitch, like, between the whole lot of them, the Coonies, the Bucks, all these boys, like, they had a great year, just did enough to win matches and go. But when the chips were really down, the two last games were unbelievable. Like, when you put the two of them together, you're playing the Munster champions, playing the Leinster champions, you can't win a better All-Ireland than that. All they can do is meet what's in front of them. But to me, like, it's a very, very sweet victory. Not alone for Thomas's now, but for Galway hurling as well, because it shows you the standard is up there. And it's up to Galway now, like, to step on and do what Thomas's are doing.
And even, sir, there, I suppose, the truth being told, a lot of people would have been talking the last few years with Thomas's winning the six in a row, like, and not getting an All-Ireland out of that. Like, and the talk was out there. And the truth being told, I'd say they felt the pressure as well, to be honest. David Burke, I think, said in the interview after, you know, there was a bit of hurt there the last good few years. I'd say, look, I can't tell you what they were thinking, but for me, when we were playing, there was a time when we started thinking about All-Irelands instead of county finals. They were winning county finals, and I said it to a lot of people. I reckon their county final was an All-Ireland quarter final, really, in their heads. Now, I don't know if you agree with me, but I'd say it was, and I'd say this was a fierce, fierce, sweet one, to be honest with them.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Chunky. Like, you know, they might be saying it, but deep down, you know, they felt like to themselves, and you often in life don't get what you deserve, but I felt that they deserved this and went out and had to work hard. Like, you just think of the game against Ballygunner, like that was some game, like, and someday. And again, the last day again, the conditions were hard. Like, there was a storm blowing down from the canal into the Hill 16, and it was more than a strong breeze, like, and you know, they played powerfully, even against the people saying. We were beside the Kilkenny radio and the Kilcarly radio the day before for Lachlan Gaels, and they were feeling Lachlan was going well. And I was kind of saying, gee, I don't like 2 points to me wasn't much in that kind of a game, like, because Nolan Thomas said come finish strong. Now I couldn't see James Regan get sent off, like, and I felt he was unfortunate. He probably even missed a tackle, but he was probably paying for some of the tackles in the first half. Both sides were kind of hitting hard, so I think he was paying for that. And as you said, Chunky, when that happened, you'd imagine Thomas, after once they settled, you'd feel they had 16 on the pitch. To be fair, they hurled like demons, and they deserved to win. Like, the Lachlan Gaels mentors, you know, mentioned that as well as the goal, but they were saying the best team won, which they did, like.
I'd say obviously they seemed to pick it up when the red card came. They probably used the ball a bit better. I don't know. You were obviously at it, but on the telly, it seemed to me there seemed to be a lot of block downs, a lot of Thomas's lad doing stuff they wouldn't usually do in the county championship, like especially some of their forwards there that were swinging balls over their shoulder, getting blocked down by Hugh Lawler, Paddy Deegan, Mikey Butler, these lads. And the second half, they just didn't give the Kilkenny backs that kind of they were using the ball way, way better, led it through the lines. And that seemed to only happen when they lost the man to the red card, which is it's not very unusual, like as you see it a lot of times when teams go down for 14 men, they seem to drive on, and the team with the 15 men often aren't sure what to do with the spare man. But yeah, it probably hurts the O'Loughlin Gaels as they definitely feel like they didn't do themselves justice with the extra man. That'll be my own view anyway, but fair play to Thomas's. They certainly upped it anyway when they went 14.
I'd say you're right there, because Thomas has conceded the puck out the hat, but then, like, when the Lachlan Gaels got it, just kind of came forward, and then they tried to feed it up the wings or feed it up the pitch, but they never. Thomas has overturned them the whole time and came back down again, like, and you know, they had a strategy worked out well, like, and they all worked very, very hard, no more so than David Burke. Like, he seemed to be covering the ground everywhere and just kind of filling in the potholes, telling them what to do. But, like, when the chances came, like the point that Daniel Burke got, it was worthy of winning any All-Ireland. Like, that was, you know, it was kind of ride the rover stuff, what he did over the shoulder just off. But he has the risk to do that. And Conor Cooney, I thought Conor got a fantastic point. I didn't realise he caught the ball 3 times. But even to do that, like, he's still putting a trick, because at this stage, Conor was inside on you know, probably one of the best full-backs or supposedly in the country. Lawler, he made him look very ordinary. As a matter of fact, Mikey Butler, Lawler, and these, they start to kind of lose him. How would you say? Like, they weren't as confident on the ball as they imagined they would, because they were just, Enya Burke and Conor Coney were putting them under pressure and were upsetting them, which was good to see from not only the Thomas's point of view, but a Galway point of view as well.
Just on two lads, I know, Paul, you might dwell on in a minute, but you mentioned Conor Cooney there and Davy Burke. Jesus, like, Davy Burke deserves special mention anyway for me, like, because I'd say it was probably one of his greatest performances. I'd say it was one of his best performances ever hurling, as far as I could see. He scored 3 points. I'd say he was involved in another three or four. He won a couple of frees. Jesus, he seemed to be all over the place. He scored one in the full forward line. He went back out the field. He was nearly looking for the puck out. He was like, now, to be fair, he played on the edge as well. He was lucky enough at times as well. He could have picked up an extra card or two. And but you know what? Fair play to him. 7 months ago, picked up a cruciate injury, and you know what I mean. He just forgot about it. Put the work in, and you know he deserves everything he gets. And just the second lad, Conor Cooney, another lad that probably, in my view, gets way too much, probably too much attention when he's playing with Galway lads or. Like hurlers on the ditch, as I do call them, you know, seem to knock him at times. But like Conor Cooney for me has been the probably ahead of David in the club championship in Galway. Like he's been the best club hurler for probably the last 10 years, consistently getting man the matches in county finals, captain six in a row. So he went in full forward, picked up Hugh Lawler, and as you said there, he gave him trouble from start to finish, and probably was one of the main reasons of winning the game for me.
Yeah, well, inside, yeah, has terrible trouble. Like, and you know, the unsung heroes, the likes of, you know, Manza gets his 2 or 3 points every game. Darragh Burke did a lot of the hard old tackling, blocked and threw his weight around. Like, no better man to kind of get stuck in into the thing, you know. Like, James Ream was unlucky, you'd have to say that. Like, and everyone seemed to work hard. Young Flannery was kind of way out the pitch, like, they had it worked out. And it's funny, when we went down to the 14 men, it didn't worry them. Like, they only had 5 forwards up front, but that didn't worry them because, as you say, Junkie, they were throwing the ball around and they had to throw it more accurate when they were down the men. Like, you know, they made the ball do all the work. They were very good at stick passing. And it's going to take a great team to stop them in Galway again. I know it's a bit hard for Thomas, won't be taking that yet out of the 7 in a row, but it's up to the other. They're building up the standard. It's up to the other clubs now to get up to that standard. And that's the way it is. Everyone will say they're unbeatable, which they look like that now, but it doesn't work that way. Like, you know, their time will come, someone will come, and then it's someone else's turn. So, like, they're making hay while the sun is shining. And this group of men, you know, it's hard to believe that they're going for 7 in a row, because, like, it's competitive in Galway. The seven they're going, if they win the seven, they'll be going for eight. But, like, it's a big ask as well. But as you said, though, Chunky, I'd say this year, the county final was only really a quarter final. It was a step to a means. And, like, to get the reward at the end of it, it has to be a fantastic feeling for them, and they deserve all the celebrations they can get, and let them enjoy it and do whatever they do. Like, and I think Galway people as well, after the Ballygunner game, I just felt the whole county turned for them, even those that were playing against them and playing hard and trying to fight and, you know, getting better and get sent off. The whole, like, the county swung in behind it because they could feel there was something big coming, and that win over Ballygunner, I think, changed the whole kind of conception of them throughout the county. That's I got that feeling anyway, as a kind of a supporter.
Yeah, 100%. And then you go back to the even next year in the county. Like, I was only chatting the other day. People think that the Thomas's lads are get, you know, they're pushing on six in a row, etc. They're not, probably not, when you go through their back line there. Maybe Cathal Burke, who's another unsung hero, to be fair. You don't
Yeah.
hear about Rainer Burke, you'll hear about, I suppose, Cathal and Dara probably deserve mention, because you say someone has to do the donkey work, and I know all about that myself from my playing days with Portumna. Someone had to kick it into Joan and Damien and the boys. But no, to be fair to Dara, like, you know, things probably didn't go mightily well from the first half, but he
Did
stuck in. He stuck in there. You know, they got a lot of points from the half back line there. Your man Fogarty, Malloy, Deegan, and them lads. But he stuck in and he got going the second half, and he was part of it. Cathal Burke, as I say, these lads, they're probably the older lads, but like the goalkeeper, you have Fintan Burke there in the full back line, young Sherry, young Head, Shane Cooney. Is they're young, like, you know, there's a young Finnerty midfield, he's young. They're a young enough team. They're probably not going anywhere, which is not ideal for your Tarryn Bridges and Tommy Larkins and Lochrays and whoever else, like, but they're probably not going anywhere anytime soon either.
Chunky, as you know, like, when you're winning, it's I'm not saying it's easier, but it makes it that bit more kind of, you're going down the field and you're the champions. It's nearly like the lads at the bottom of the table has to train as well, but it nearly makes it easier to win, because if you get your game going, you're going to be thereabouts again. Like, they're going to be hot favourites for the championship this year again in Galway. And as it stands, it's supposed to be hot favourites for the All Ireland. But it all, like, things can happen. But I keep thinking of what David Brooks said to me after the 5 in a row. Like, everyone was saying, well, the six. And he was just before his interview, he said, I tell you the truth. He said, I'm thinking the seven. And I said to him, like, and he wasn't messing and he wasn't cotton. You know what I mean? So now he has his sixth, and now he's got the lead on, as you say. So he probably had a game of his life the last day. Influenced, like, he.
I did, yeah. He's phenomenal, like, phenomenal, phenomenal. I
Just on that, with David Burke, we had TJ Ryan on the podcast last week, and he was making the point that he thinks David Burke is the greatest ever hurler to play with Galway. But for you two, who's been better, David or Joe?
don't think you can compare them. You see, the thing is, like, David is a midfielder and he does a lot of work and gets up and down the pitch. And as Chunky said, he covered every blade of grass the last day, which was unbelievable. Like, Joe was a fantastic hurler with the finisher. Like, with other, like, it's hard. It's different, you know, the different times, different, you know, the different teams, different opposition. You know, like, the opposition this, you know, like, Thomas has won an All-Ireland, playing the Munster winners and Leinster winners. not easy to do that. Like, you know, like, okay, you don't give a damn who's in there if you win it. But like, David Buck would have have a fantastic influence on every team he plays on, even for his leadership qualities alone. Like, but you had a lot of great leaders, like Joe Cannon would be one, like you said there. Ollie Cannon would be a great leader, who probably, I don't think he ever won a senior club, senior Ireland with Galway, but like has everything else would be a great leader. Like John Connolly, fantastic leader. Joe Connolly be a great leader. Joe Cooney, these guys would be big leaders. Like, it's hard, you can't, you know, it's, I would never compare because it's completely different. The rules are different. The referees a lot to do with it. They're, you know what I mean? Different things. So.
Is Joe and David at the top for you now, though, sir?
Ah, there will be. See, the thing is, Paul, that when you, the last person you see is inclined to be in your mind the whole time. You know what I mean? Trying to judge them. It's hard to go back 9 or 10 years, but like, and then the games were different. Like a hurler, say 15 years ago, a top forward would get a belt off the ball, they might kill him. There wouldn't be even a free. Like, it's completely, now to be fair, it's completely different now, and all for the better for the top hurlers. But it's very hard to compare, like, and it's different. Like now, like the game is played kind of possession game, you work it through the lines. Before, like, you'd be kind of, if a corner back God, he'd clip a 70 yard. No, it could go up faster, right? But the forwards have to fight for the ball. So different types of games completely. But like, you're talking about great players, like, you know. So like, it's like comparing, say, DJ Carey with TJ Reid or Henry Shefflin, like in Kilkenny. Who do you say is the best? Like, a lot depend on what's around them. You know what I mean as well. Like, they have to, like, good individuals make good teams, but you still need 14 other fellas. David Burke or Joe, as Junk referred to there, someone had to get into Joe Cannon and just didn't. You know, you can't be everywhere. Even though, after saying that, David Burke was everywhere last Sunday. Like, you know, he covered the whole pitch. But like, you know, to me, you can't just compare. I wouldn't ever even try. It'd be nearly impossible, you know.
I for me, I wouldn't either, to be honest. Obviously, I've heard with Joe for all our senior career, it's for Tom, etc. Like, and he, you know, one of the greatest hurlers ever. To me, David Burke is up there as well. And wouldn't be fair to either of them to be even trying to compare them. Like, they're both, like, for David Burke, he's Tom's a spiritual leader. He has been, even though Conor Cooney's their captain, for me, David Burke seems to manage the team from the field. You can see him pointing. He's telling lads where to go. He can see he's instructing everything. For me, him coming back for injury was vital. I'm not so sure that Thomas could win that All-Ireland without him, to be honest. I think that's how much of an influence. And I suppose even comparing him with Joe, I can nearly compare him with Ollie. He's probably, you mentioned there, Ollie would have had that influence on our Portumna teams. You know what I mean? You just felt so secure when you were playing with Ollie because you just knew he was going to do the right thing. He was going to say the right thing. He wouldn't say too much, but when he spoke, you listened. You know what I mean? When he got the ball, you knew he was going to do the right thing. And he was obviously that bit older. And I see the same with David Burke. He's a good bit older than a lot of the Johnny Heads and Sherries and even Shane Coonan, these lads. So they're probably looking up to him, you know. So I wouldn't compare them either. They're both up at the top. There's very little ahead of them anyway, for me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an impossible task to compare them two players. Just, sir, you did touch on Aina Burke's winner, and it's something I want to touch on now. There was a snippet going around, obviously, of you being involved in the commentary for Aina Burke's last minute winner. But just on it as a whole, Damian McGlynn does, I think, fantastic to keep the ball alive. It's not something people are realizing, but just Aina's touch, his control, and then for it to go over like that, and I suppose to have the balls to take it on, like, it's just remarkable.
But Paul, before that, he got a score from around centre forward just as a flick, just kind of, which, you know, kind of moves his hand, just a little flick, which he's capable of doing. He gets goals out of, say, in the county final, the ball hit the ground, just a little flick. But the one he got, to remind you, you could compare it to Joe Cannon's point against, was against Tip. Like, again, he had no right to get it yet. Now, as you say, Young McLean held it there, but when he got onto it, and he's back to goal. That the back did nothing wrong. He forced him out on the outside. He had him down in that left corner here in front of the Hogan stand, way down. And you think, you know, like, there's nowhere to go. And like, it reminds you of some of the points that Limerick got last year in Ireland from an impossible position. Now, he had a pot shot. Now, as the ball was moving wide, it was still level, but like, he went for it. But to us looking on, it was an unbelievable shot. But knowing him, it wasn't unbelievable for him. He's doing that kind of the whole time. And that's what he has. Like, he got a few runs at Galway, kind of just didn't happen, but he'd probably be in again. Like, that, he's still a great hurler because he's capable of turning on a sixpence and scoring. Now, you know, the points, what did he get? 3 points from play. He's always getting them. Conor Cooney getting a few from play, like, and all the praise. You know, David Burke got a few from play. Menzel get a few from there. You know, they're very good for kind of chipping in and getting their scores. Like, and that score was unbelievable. Like, you know, it was worthy. Like, even the commentators from the Kilkenny end of it were saying, "'Twas worthy of any All-Ireland." Now, Kilkenny, but you know, they got their chance. So Loughlin Gaels got their chance to draw. It was a hard feed on Bergen. It was always a long way. Strong breeze against them. But, like, there it was. Even if they got the draw, I felt bouncing back to 15 against 15. I think they were in the driving seat. They were going to win it. But it was a great score to win. And, like, it, you know, it was lovely to see, you know, afterwards in the hotel, all the clan from Thomas is there, and all the Burke clan there, like, because they're fantastic. The Burkes and the Coneys, they're fantastic hurling family, like, and even when they were beaten, they still came back again. You know, and as Chunky will tell you, like, when you get beaten and come back, that's, you know, that's when you really, really enjoy it. And I feel that's why the enjoyment is so big, and the, you know, the celebration is so big. And I think all the county will be enjoying it and celebrating with them.
Absolutely, yeah. Just on Aina Burke's go, or his winning point, I suppose, from the 2 year looking at club hurling, as long as I'm looking at it and playing it, probably looking at it. Sometimes I should have been playing as well, but anyway,
Sometimes you should.
standing up doing nothing. But no, come here, Aina Burke is taking shots in the Galway Club Championship. I don't know for how many years. And some will say he shouldn't take some of them, but the truth be told, he scores most of them, and his wrists are phenomenal. Yeah, look at it's absolute Rye of the Rovers stuff, really. He'll be getting pints bought from down in Kilcrease for a long, long time. Now, Bernard Burke, if you look at closely at the clip, Bernard Burke was after he was after coming on, and it just what I liked about him was. He didn't probably touch the ball when he came on, but he was active. He was alive. He threw himself around. If you see him going into the ruck, he actually cleared out. He cleared out one fella. He nearly made the room for Aidan Burke to actually control it and hit it over the bar. So I suppose he better buy Bernard a couple of pints or give Bernard a few of them free pints he's getting down at Kilcrease. But yeah, listen, it's right. The point he scored before that was, as you
Yeah.
said, he got a point in the first half. I think David flicked one in. Controlled it, picked it up, bang over the bar. Like there isn't many lads in club hurling Galway that can do it. Like, but yeah, they probably gave him a bit of space as well that you wouldn't, you know, if you're doing your homework on the Thomas's lads. For me, anyway, there's a couple of their players you just can't give space to, and David Burke is probably one of them. I know someone was talking about it. And hindsight is great, and you wouldn't pick him up. But for me, like I could see clearly, I was watching on the telly here at home, and I could see after 10 minutes, David Burke was lording it, like, and he just seemed to get more space. And I don't know that in hindsight, they probably would maybe put someone closer on him and stop him having such an influence on the game because, you know, he just completely and utterly influenced the whole game for me, start to finish.
As Kenneth Burke said, Cyril, in his interview after the game about Aina, he said, only Aina could do that.
Yeah, well, you see, they'd see him doing that every night in training, and Chunky has referred to in the club hurling in Galway, he's often, maybe not as impossible, but like them kind of snapshots, he just over the shoulder, like fantastic scores, like, now, you know, and he's getting him for the last 9 or 10 years, like, you know, he's still a young fella, like, but he has that ability, you know, and it just shows the standard that's in their club. Like, but I've seen a lot of clubs like Les are very, very good hurlers, and like, do I thought it reminded me of some of the Limerick scores that they got in Nationals of Ireland. If you're coaching a young fella, so you can't shoot from there, they're impossible angles, like, and yet they were put them over the bar. But in your box is impossible as well. But like, as Chunky said, if he didn't go for it, he wasn't going to get it. That was the, you know, he acted on instinct. And that's what can happen in hurling nowadays with the modern things, is all kind of possession and all kind of plans now. But like, instinct is still count. Like, the top hurlers still have to act on that instinct. He didn't look at the post and he knew where they were without any, just over the shoulder. Beautiful score. And like, it'll go down in the annals of one of the greatest scores to win a club final of so far of all time, you'll probably find. It'll be there for centuries, really, you'll find.
To be fair, it wasn't great to see, like, you know, them snapshots at club level anyway. Because I don't know, but I'd say at intercounty level, if a lad start taking them shots, you'd probably be pulled ashore. Granted, if they're going over, but it's gone, as you said, it's gone all possession, possession, and don't shoot unless you're in the shooting zone and
Yeah.
get it the shooter, like, but you know what I mean? Oh, Jesus, like, I jumped off the chair myself, like, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and I was still hurling with Portumna, and I wouldn't be jumping off the chair for the Thomas lads. But when you finish up and you can enjoy it a bit more, like, you know what I mean? Obviously, to refer on that, like, when you're hurling yourself, sometimes you just don't want anyone else to win, and that wouldn't be just me, but I'm sure as all other lads in other clubs, some mightn't admit it, but that's the way it'd be, like, but. For me, the last couple of years, I'm fully gone from the hurling, and Jesus, nothing made me so. You know, I was delighted to see Thomas's, and I jumped up when Aina Burke got the score. You know, but the one thing I was thinking after is Jesus Christ, at Intercounty, it's nearly gone where you have lads doing that, like it's all turn around, pass it back, keep it. You know, so I have to say the standard of the match itself was probably for the weather was through the roof as well. You know, it was a great game.
Would either of you, if you're Henry Shefflin now, are you on the phone to Aina Burke straight away?
Ah, you're on the phone to a lot of them. Like, you
Right.
know, that all had great, like, if you go through the year, like, you know, they all had great games. Gerald Kelly and Go, great season. I mean, for Fintan Burke, but everyone knows about him. But Ski Manny had a great day, a great year. I
Just on
felt.
that, sir, Keane Mahoney, I can't
Yeah.
remember a game Keane Mahoney's came out on the other side of his opponent since the start of the Galway Championship.
Well, like he won his duel the last, you know, very well. He, like, you
Yeah.
know, really on top and had a right good game. Like, I just felt that the Loughlin forwards, they didn't, like, I know they were dangerous now, but there was no real threat. The Thomas's backs had been down, got completely on top of them, and they got completely on top altogether when they were down, when they had to do, like, that were down to the 14 men. But you go back to Shane Cooney, had a great year. You know, like, they're probably looking at him again. David Burke midfield, when we look at it again, we'll say Conor Cooney, like, you know, like he's been the best club forward during the last 10 years. It doesn't matter what game you go to, like, he stands out a mile. If you never knew him, you'd know him after 15 or 20 minutes. As Chunky says, he's doing it every day. No, the supporters are hard, but you see, that's because of his standard. They're expecting kind of miracles. He does it every day for Thomas, and they're kind of saying, well, why doesn't he do it for God? Which is a different thing, but once you have the ability, you'll get it out of him. And like you look at Aine Burke, like at the moment, like he's in a groove, you know, like, and that can happen. They're all going well now. They all can't be on, but they'll make the panel stronger. Like when you get into a kind of a groove, a thing can happen. I see young McLaughlin out at the moment playing for Galway, and he's just in that groove. Like he's getting great scores. He's feeling confidence. He got a great goal again last night against UCC. He was looking at all the match there. He was up on the ground and it was freezing. Well, not freezing too bad, but like still wasn't that warm. But like he got a goal that he wouldn't get if his confidence wasn't high enough. That's what you get, like, you know. And Thomas have that in abundance because they're winning, and this thing is going to put them on a higher plane. So, like, it'll make our club standard higher in Galway. The clubs to compete will have to kind of say train smarter and get under bites, because Thomas won't be going away anywhere.
And on Conor Cooney, you'd probably think someone like Eamon O'Shea in with Galway, he might work well with Conor Cooney because, like, if he's the best hurler for me, best forward, one of the best forwards in club hurling, like maybe small little tweaks here and there, like you know when he went in, he's played a lot of his best hurling centre forward for Thomas's, but he probably played his best hurling on Sunday full forward. And to be honest, for me, he completely nullified the influence of Hugh Lawler. And as you say, Hugh Lawler is probably one of the best full backs. And I thought Hugh Lawler was going all right in the first half. He got caught once or twice, but geez, he was became busy when Conor Cooney, and he matched him physically, he matched him for pace. So like Conor Cooney for me still has an awful lot to offer for Galway, definitely next year or two.
You could be right there, Chunky. Like O'Shea will be doing the coaching, especially up front, because he loved the forward play. And like Conor Cooney, if he started in, say, even full forward, he's a big man and he's still a great hurler. Like, and he's a great free taker. Now, so is young Nyland from Clarenbridge at the moment. He's on top. Look at there's a lot of good. We've plenty of free takers, but it's a matter for the lads, for Shane Rindabay, to get the best
To be
in
honest,
the
yeah.
best 15.
And back to your original question there on who you'd bring in. For me, I'd probably bring in six or seven of them, to be honest, because they're at a good age. The goalie, Gerald Kelly, like he's probably a bit of an unsung hero. Thomas's have played, as far as I know, they could have three or four different goalies in the last 7 or 8 years, and
Yeah.
they seem to have found a gem in this lad. Like I was only seeing the highlights Sunday evening, even the free he scored the last year, like, geez, he was miles out, like, miles. He was between 110 yards out, like, you know, massive free to go 2 pints up. He made a couple of saves. He's been brilliant in the club championship. His puck outs are excellent. He doesn't lose the plot in the goals. He's solid. He's a lad. You look at Fintan, Keane Mahoney for me. I've been watching him now a while. Probably since around the COVID time there, 2020. So what do we know? 3, 4 years. He stood out for me back in 2020, 2021, maybe. And I think he's blossomed well, but Jesus, he's got fierce strong since then, and fierce physical. So he's a lad you're definitely looking at Intercounty. You've Shane Cooney, you've Fintan, you know what I mean? There's five or six of them in it. It's probably six. Bring them in. If you don't use them, that's fine. But sometimes people will just think, oh, he's a good club hurler. But I'd like if Henry and the lads brought some more of them in and just see how they go, because these lads could be brilliant intercounty hurlers as well. You know, the likes of even young Sherry, you just don't know. Like, get them in there against the best and throw them in. We've nothing to lose. We haven't won an All-Ireland since 17. Get them in there, get them all in there and see what they're like. Give them a chance, as you said. All it takes a bit of confidence there. You see with Declan McLaughlin, one of my own club man. Like, once the confidence is up, they have the hurling. And let's be clear, there's an All-Ireland there to be won sooner or later. Limerick won't stay winning forever, and we're probably next in line with the likes of Tipperary. So why not get them in, get them trialed, and see if you look at if you bring six in and three of them play, they're used to winning. You know, the six counties in a row, they're used to winning. Winning breeds winning, and that's what you want, isn't it? In your senior squad.
Yeah, well, if they get the best, say, 30 and let the best 15 jump the ditch, but I really think this is for Galway. They have to go flat out and win a Leinster title and win it. Don't be looking for the back door, win it, because if you win it, everything else can fall into place. Just get in the winning groove. And I think they will be very strong, whatever 25 or 6 is in there. None of them are going to, the lads that are picked, but fine, but the lads that come on, they're not going to weaken the team. It's like a jigsaw. We have the pieces, if we can put the pieces together, hopefully it'll come right this year. I just have the feeling it will, because we seem to be moving okay as it is. I know now the matches aren't top class yet, but like, they can only beat what's in front of them. And okay, the lads, you see, you'll have lads coming back from injury, but the lads that are in there now have the jerseys, and it's up to the other lads to come and take them off. And like, you know, let them, if they're better than them, fine enough. It's up to Henry to pick the best team. But I really think we have the stuff in Galway to win, without a shadow of a doubt. And I wouldn't be a bit afraid of Limerick. I know they're the team at the moment, but like, everyone's kind of saying, how do you match them? How do you play them? Like, play your own game. Don't worry about Limerick at all. Like, they're human as well, but like, everyone's kind of make them superhuman. Now, they are a good team, but you can't go playing them their way. You have to use your own, say, game plan. And even at the moment, you can see Galway, they're definitely at the ball, moving more in the forward, they're passing more, and they're switching it from side to side more, and like, kind of running the fences from left to right to left. And I just hope they keep doing that.
Chunky, Declan McLaughlin has been really sharp. He's your own club man. Got 3 points there against Dublin at the weekend. Tremendous goal for Mary Eye as well against UCC there in the Fitzgibbon Cup. From working with him at senior club hurling, how excited are you for Declan at the moment?
Ah, yeah, listen, Declan's a great lad, great attitude, willing to learn, willing to listen. So look at he's in there, and a lot of it for me with these young lads is confidence and giving a chance. And the one thing I'll say about giving a chance to lads is I've seen it over the years. I've seen really good lads going in with Galway. You're playing the Walsh Cup and stuff, and sometimes it's hard to stand out in these games, but hopefully he'll get a run coming into the league, because the league is probably a little more serious now, and you've got, your bulk of their best players. And I think he'll blossom with as the year goes on. You know, when he went in first, probably lacked a bit of strength and conditioning, but his hurling is there. He can win his own ball. He's a knife for goal, striking off both sides. Like, yeah, he's an intercounty hurler. But look at his sir knows, you don't just go into these panels and as an intercounty hurler, you go in and you work hard and you go hard and that's it. You do what the coach are telling you. Have good lads in there, Joycey, you know, and you have Aidan O'Shea's in there now with Henry, other lads there, and that's it. You know, it won't just happen, but he has the raw materials, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. And for all the other lads in there, listen, the good thing about Henry is he's trying a lot of lads out, you know. There's a good lot of young lads there from Loughrea as well, and other clubs that are blossoming under Henry, you know. But I do agree with him on the Leinster final. I think we have to target that, and I think if we're to go and push on and try and win in All Ireland, I think it's going to be that route. It's going to be winning the Leinster final and getting straight into a semi. That's probably the way it's going to be. And look at who knows, after Thomas's the brilliant year this year, it might be this year. Please God.
Just on just getting back to Thomas's, we will touch before we finish just on the Welsh Cup final this weekend. But sir, there was a great piece before the All-Ireland final in the Irish Examiner on Friday. It was talking about the board and the committee in Thomas's. A lot of them related to the players, no surprise there. But like, isn't that what they have as well? They do have an extraordinary board and committee that are associated with this club, that like are getting the most out of this team. But like, the players did reference a lot to the committee, even in the speech and after the game.
Yeah, the one for nothing, like, and there's a Colin Buck there, an electrical kind of an engineer. He's employing a lot of them now, and there's a lot of locals given employment, and these fellas are all qualified. And I knew that club way back in the 70s, and they didn't have a pitch. We were a junior, and I was back giving them a hand, and there were junior players, like, but good players, and they trained in the farmer's field at night, and there was another field we got hold on that. Now, when you pass through now, they have everything, like lights, double pitches, like big clubhouse, gym, the whole lot. It just shows what can be done in a rural community, which is a big, you know what I mean? And again, like, they wouldn't have hectic numbers, like, but what to have that work on, and it's very close, very tight. But you're going to find, Paul, in a lot of the rural communities, it's the hurling club is the big club or the big unit in the area, and like they're the ones that will do the get together and organise. God forbid if there's a funeral race, be done with the traffic flow and all this sort of stuff. The big country funerals are very big. Like it's the club that'll organise that, and that's the way it should be. Like, and they'll do that for one another. And like other clubs will do the same thing, and they'll all get like they would have all committees, but they might have as active as Thomas's. But they're active, Paul, because they have to raise money every year, but they're winning. You see, it's easier when you're winning, not maybe the right word, but like it makes it more conducive for people to come in, and it's easier to get the help from outside. You get a few bobbers when you're winning. It's harder when you're losing. No, like it'll cost a lot this year to probably what they've done. Like, they would have got plenty of challenge games, buses, all the rest. You'll find that it'll be big this year, but no one will mind like putting a few bob extra because they're at the top of the table. But and they've made hay where the sun shone, and they're going to be there again. But they would be very active. And like we had a kind of a get together there the other night, kind of a preview of the All Ireland, and it was all kind of past chairman and secretaries being involved again, and their sons being involved. And there's a kind of, it's a close-knit community, but that's the way it has been there, because there wouldn't be many, would it be not strange, but not many strangers. All these have followed through the years with Thomas's and be hand down, hand down, hand down. But great to see them there, like in the, to think that they won the, is it 11 years since they won the last one? Whatever it
Yeah,
was, 11 or 12.
2013, I think, was it? 2013.
Yeah, like to see that they're back again, and in between that 11 years, they won the sixth in a row, which is unbelievable. Like, so it's great to see them back. It's going to be hard for any club to knock them off, but that's the standard that's there. Like, it can only do good for Galway hurling. And as Chunky there says, you bring in these lads, like, the one thing is, even with the college lads now, even with, say, Declan McLaughlin, these lads in college, they would have a lot more hurling done than the fella that's not going to college or would be involved in Thomas. That law kind of even up as the year goes on. Because in colleges, if it's given us on, oh, that's a big competition. We've got a lot of Galway lads involved between the two colleges in Galway, between the three colleges in Limerick. Terrible lot of them involved. UCD, you have, say, Young O'Shea involved. So that would kind of, that leaving out as the year goes on, because you've let us just work and go to lower college or anything like that. That leaving out, but it still bodes well for Galway. And like, I think it's a great start to the year that Thomas have won the double iron. It can only be good, like, you can gather momentum, and I just had the feeling that Galway could kind of steamroll this year if they could gather a bit of momentum as the year goes on.
If you're looking at this success overall, Chunky, like we're talking there about the board, and it's just amazing, even when Cyril says that back in the 70s, they had no pitch, and you look at what Thomas has went on to do. But their success recently, if you're to put that down to one or two things, what is it for you?
For me, I think it's dedication and hard work just throughout the whole club, and you just after speaking about it, everybody, the committee, you need committees, you need people, everything, washing jerseys, filling water, turning on the lights, cutting the field, lining the field, Then you have to go to the players. You need the players to turn up. You need them to be dedicated. By all accounts, they're not massive. They're not massive into their social. You know, when they're hurling, they're hurling. They're training. Fierce dedication. Like you're not going to win. You're not going to win at that level unless you are. But it's a massive credit to them because it's so hard to keep it going. And lads will tell you, ah, sure, you have a good team. And you know, hats off to Kenneth Burke, super manager. It's easy to say he has the players, like, but it's one thing having the players, but new players that are hurling with Galway, they've won All-Irelands with Galway. It can be hard to manage that. You know, it can be hard to manage some people in the dressing rooms, but he obviously seems to do that. He was a player himself. It can be hard to manage players that you hurled with. And he seems to do that seamlessly. Like, you know what I mean? He's had a couple of different coaches under him because lads come in, they win a county final. I think TJ Ryan was in there, Tommy Fitz was in there. You know, he's still able to keep that group, still able to keep the group winning. You know, the few times he's lost, they were a bit unlucky. You know, TJ Ryan got a couple of goals from frees one year and stuff like that. Like, so it's just an all-round dedication. They just eat, sleep, breathe hurling. And I don't think they do anything else. And then they enjoy it after. And fair play to them, you know, if not with admiration for what's going on out there at the minute. But I don't know where they're getting the numbers, but like, you know, they're picking up a guy every year. They seem to be picking up a new lad. Just he seamlessly fits in, a second lad, third lad. They like the Victor Manzo, as you said, he came off there the last year, but he had 2 pints got. Oisín Flannery came the last couple of years. If you look at the match again, you'll see towards the end of the game, you know, someone said, oh, maybe they could have taken him off instead of Victor Manzo, but he did the hard yards. You know, he kept the ball up in the forward line, 14 men. So it's just really down to hard work, dedication, love of the parish, just all that for me. The goal is actually something we didn't talk about. And in fairness to Fintan Burke, I don't think he gave anyone. I know we were giving out about the umpires. I think it might have been before we went on air, like, you know, the positioning of them. But Fintan Burke did unbelievably well. You know, his speed of thought, his, you know, to be able to hold the ball out as close to the line. Well, for me, it probably went over the line, but you wouldn't know that unless you're looking at, you know, high tech videos, like, you know, but just to be able to clear the ball so quick, like, you know, it's phenomenal, really, like.
Just on that, because we actually didn't really touch on the red card right there. So much happening within this game, but because obviously the goal incident there, and we've all seen the image. Fintan Burke was obviously over the line there. Thomas has get away with one, but then if you look, Conor Healy goes into the front of Conor Cooney, and it's a really dangerous high challenge. Jordan Molloy, it looks nearly like a headbutt on David Burke. James Regan, as we talked about, gets the red card. When you look at all that that happened, sir, did it nearly even itself out?
Well, yeah, well, like the doctors have feel it to be a different game if there were five up at half time. Now, if James Regan didn't get sent off, I still think Thomas would beat them well, even with the 15 in, because 5 pints, that breeze wasn't a breeze. Like, it was a lot stronger than people. God almighty, you know, like, if you're, unless you were down there, you wouldn't know the strength of it. But like, there were big calls, and like, it kind of evened itself out. I've had James Regan kind of suffer because of what happened in the first half, because definitely you'll find that someone spoke to the referee at half time, maybe his assessor or something like that, because he didn't seem to be fully controlled. It was like that goal, he didn't see that, probably didn't even go in to check it. You know, David Burke got a headbutt from some fella, it was a Malloy, that could have been Conor Cooney got a rap, you know, like it was one or two Thomas Les, like, they picked up a yellow, could have picked up a second yellow, didn't, kind of got told Warren not to do it again. Now, it was that kind of a game, it was a physical game, and it can be hard enough to referee this most of the time. He was trying to let it flow. But like, there was no one complaining really. Like, even the Kilkenny Minters felt that James Regan was very unlucky to be sent off. There's no doubt about that. Okay, they complained about the goal, but the goals often went win against Galway sides as well. Like, you know, that's. But like, it will bring the key question, of course, is if you have technology for the points, surely God, it makes sense to have the technology for the goals as well. Like, you know, that would now people say, well, it costs too much of that, but like, if you have it for, it can't be costing that much different. But most, you know, I don't know how much it costs, but like. If you have the technology working, like for over the bar, surely to God it can't be that hard to work it for under the bar.
The only thing I'd say on that, lads, is Jesus Christ Almighty. I said it previous, like the referee has 4 umpires. There's probably not a training course for umpires. There probably doesn't need to be, but you certainly shouldn't be standing behind the goals when there's a lad coming in bearing down a goal. It's okay for one lad to stand in the goals or behind the goals, maybe. One lad has got to stand beside the goal just to see what's going on, you know. And the referee should be telling these lads. I'm sure them umpires are going with them all year to matches. You know, get your positioning right. It's a simple thing, like, but as I say, fair play to Fintan. He was quick on his feet. And look, it is what it is. I think a lot of them probably did even out. And I think they're sending off. Would I have sent him off? I don't think I would have sent him off. Or was it Conor Heary that hit Conor Cooney? Now, if Conor Cooney turned differently with his head, that could have been a hell of a lot different. But once again, credit must go to Conor because, geez, he got up after that, lads, and he probably like after sending off, he only got going kind of after the hit, like, and it was a fair hit to be fair, like, so he upped the ante after. But I don't know, I probably wouldn't have given a red card to James Regan. Oh, the angles weren't mighty on the television, but like, geez, it looked like your man went down easy enough. Back in the day, there was no helmets, like, you know, they've helmets on now, like, and I don't think he was overly injured, just get up. But as it turned out, James Regan had a couple of pints scored, he had the job done. And I think when he went off, he nearly lifted everyone else, and they actually played the ball better. So look at, they can all celebrate now anyway, it's over, and they have the All-Ireland brought home. But one other point I would like to
Yeah.
make. Go on, sir.
No, one took it, one.
No, just you
Look,
form.
I just feel like,
Go on.
I just feel like that O'Loughlin Gaels, that okay, the goal was Thomas got a break, but that O'Loughlin Gaels had 15 men for most of the second half. They had plenty of time to get back, like to get back on top of 15 men, and they didn't. Like, to me, Thomas has proved himself the best team, like that, like
Ah,
with the 14 men against 15.
100%. Thomas's. For me, I thought O'Loughlin Gaels possibly heard better, but it might have looked that way because I think that 5 or 6 or maybe 7 points in from their defenders in the first half. Sheer man, that young Fogarty, who seems a fine prospect, he got probably one of their first points and their last points, you know. And Paddy Deegan got 2 or 3, and the wing back, was it Jordan Malloy, got 1 or 2 as well. They looked to be hurling better in the first half, but I think is that if the game went on longer, as you said, Thomas's are a better team for me. You had no excuses. You were up a man there for the whole second half, and Thomas was on merit. But the one thing I will say, with the weather, I thought the game was actually quite good in the standard. And sir, you used to be obviously a pundit on the Sunday game. For me, sub final day, even the football, I thought it was a mighty game. The two games were mighty, you know. I really enjoyed both of them. But like, there's probably not enough. Is the timing of the games? It wouldn't be for me now playing games in the middle of January. I'd like to see it maybe going back to, I don't know, Paddy's Day or something, getting a bigger crowd, and even there should be more. I don't know.
As
There
a
should...
player, though, Chunky, does the year not drag on if we go back to Paddy's Day?
But like, you're playing all these Walsh Cup games and you're playing all these other games, and sure, I'm hearing in the grapevine lads are playing matches there in some Walsh Cup games and some of the football games, and the Ray team is below playing Dublin and Meath and all this crack, like. So for me, I'd like to see, I like, look at the weather alone the last day. Sure, geez, there was a red warning in Galway. I was surprised some of the neighbours around here were actually going to the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it was a red warning coming home. Now, as I said, Thomas's won't be bothered about the red warning. There'll be a red alert down in Thomas's for the week. But you know, just you're going to have that in early January, and you have lads training till Christmas. There was something nice when we were playing, you know, the county championship would drag out till probably October, November, but we always took a break of a couple of weeks or whatever and had enjoyed the Christmas, and then went back training in January, and you played the semi-final in February and the final in Paddy's Day. It doesn't have to be Paddy's Day, but even if it was on a, I don't know, New Year's Day or something, I just I don't know, like, even the crowd, it didn't look like there was a massive crowd. It deserves more. It's too big a spectacle for me. The standard of hurling was too good. And even after, you know what I mean? Even if there was a Sunday game that evening, just to go through the two games, like the Aoife Burke's pint, probably the greatest winning pint of an All-Ireland final club or inter-county you'll ever see. Like, you know what I mean? It just, that's my own opinion on it. I think there should
Well,
be.
for Chunky, you're right. Hurling wasn't meant for this time of the year at all. Like, the All-Ireland semi-final was played at 7:30 above in Portlaoise. In the name of good God Almighty, one of the best games ever played, club games. Like, there was a few thousand ahead, but like, you'd have no one out. 7:30, the same the last day. Like, They're throwing away, they had it, as you say, Paddy's Day, even if they changed it to New Year's, like, there was 35, 40,000 at the club finals. Maybe there was 10, 12 or 15,000 there in the last. They were great to go because, like, you wouldn't put a fox out, you know. And if anything happened, say, on the way up or the way down with the red alert, there'd be a lot more questions about the GAA. Like, they're getting away with it. But to me, it's making very little of the GAA player. Now, the lads, they won't mind. Thomas's won't mind. They won it. But Loughton's wouldn't mind if they won. But I'm just talking about the overall thing, the PR thing. Sure, like the name of God Almighty. When Thomas is probably one of the best club games ever against Ballygunner, just dead on Saturday night, and got about six or eight lines in the Sunday papers, and it made a little column on the Monday. Oh, there's no, like, it's all rap, get it out of the way. But, like, they're demeaning the club player because, like, it's okay, you know, like, you get away with it. But, like, supposing at 7:30 at night above in Port Leith that you got the fog you got in Offaly, which was again a game that shouldn't have been played, like, sure. You're looking for trouble. Like, the weather is, it's winter weather, and hurling was not meant for winter weather. I would love if they looked at and kind of tampered with the big break. They're all saying it's working. It's the boys in Croke Park that are saying it's working, and it's GPA that suits everyone. They know when their holidays are, but that's fine. But look at, like, this time of the year, you have all the clubs playing hurling. You only have one county team. I'm not saying revert it fully, but they'll have to look at it again because it's kind of crazy what's going on. Like, and you know, there'll be more matches caught. You're lucky. The match against Offaly shouldn't have been played. You know, there's no doubt about that. I know it was only a Welsh Cup match, which was still a GAA game. And even last Sunday, like, you were playing with the elements. We got away with it. But if they had the red alert, if they had the weather that we had here in the morning, they would not have been able to play in Dublin. Like, they didn't get as bad, but it was still a bad day. Like, and you couldn't have a cry. Like, as you, 35, 40,000 in Croke Park, Paddy's Day, going brilliant. Best day ever for the club, for kids, the whole lot, big build up, the whole lot. And now, like, we demeaned it. The same with the minor hurling, back to under 17, played on a Wednesday evening. No one knows where the matches are on, pipped around everywhere, get no publicity. If we're not careful, we'll have more lads throwing darts than we will play in hurling with young fellas. They'll have to go back and get the PR into it again and promote it better, I think, kind of, because it's slipping off the edge.
Oh, yeah, well, then the club game, to be honest, obviously, we played in plenty of club finals, but I don't remember a. I know a few years ago you had the goal, your man Harry Ruddle wasn't got the goal, but that club game, the two club games, the last day for me were high standard, and there should be more. There should be more. Back to January, I remember training for club finals in January, and you were looking for pitches. That was a fact, like, you know, up for some of the pitches isn't available because it's too mucky. We have to go out to Ballingarry and pay some other clubs. So you're now training up to 3 weeks before a county final with looking for pitches at this stage. At least back then you were looking for pitches, but you knew you weren't hurling until probably the middle of February. But yeah, there needs to be more. It was too good of a game, too many good players. You know what I mean? It needs to be better PR. That's my own view. Not to be given out because it was brilliant and delighted for Thomas's, obviously. They certainly won't be given out, and well, they shouldn't, in fairness.
But fitting it in the one calendar year work, like if you look at this club championship, having it all played off in 2023.
The only way it'll work that way is to play the club championship in the beginning of the year where they now have the senior hurling championship on. Revert it around. That would work to get it in that way in the calendar year. And the senior thing would work because you'd only have one, there's only one county team training, they're only looking for one pitch. There's not everyone looking for lights. Like when you're playing a county cup now or semi-final, quarter-final, every club is still involved. If you multiply the number of players in every club by, you know, whereas there's only 30 or 35 or 60 in the county, you revert the thing around. That's when it'd work in the sense you get it into the calendar if you want to, no problem. And you'd get your county championship, your county, inter-county into the championship year. But they'd be coming on second, the clubs be on first. You see, when the county scene is over now, there's nothing for the clubs for 3 months. It's closed season. So the lads hop on the, you can't blame them. They're students, they're going to New York, going to Australia, all that. If there's a county team that was out first, when they'd be ready, they'd be hanging around because they're going in training with a county team. The club lad is he's nothing to hang around for. There's 3 months in between, so he's gone. And clubs are suffering, like, you know, and it's the clubs that are suffering again. So you're hitting a lot of players that way. Now, they may not mean it, but that's what's happening on the ground.
And the clubs, lads, let's be clear, the clubs are going to suffer financially because what's gone on even in the club game now is gone through the roof even since I've finished up hurling. You have lads going back training in January, right? So for instance, you're paying a lad to train the team, there's clubs paying a lad to manage the team, you're paying statsmen and all this, right? That's January. If you're to win the county final, when did St. Thomas's win the county final in 2023? Was it the county final on October?
Nearly November, I think, was it? Was it the
Nearly
first week
November.
in November?
That's 10 months, right? So you're now telling your club player, I need you from January. And I know it's from January because most teams are back doing stuff now at the club, right? So you have lads and you're paying lads. And this is costing clubs and more fundraise. Who are you asking? More locals for more money. And you're asking players to fundraise, players to sell ladders. It's getting out of hand like that. And it's all, as Cheryl said, it's coming from the hierarchy. Deciding, they're making the decisions and they think it's great and they're brainwashing lads thinking it's great. It's not great. It's not. You're not, for me, it's not doing, yeah, it's help, it's trying to split the season, but for me, it's even costing clubs and I think it's getting out of hand. If you're telling me that I have to start back training in January for the club and I'm quite possibly not going to play a county final, and let's be clear, there's plenty of clubs that won't play in the county final. There's plenty of clubs that will put in the same effort in January as the St. Thomas's. They won't be in the final and they know they won't, and it's obviously for the love of the game, which give them games. It's getting slightly out of hand and try and fix it a bit better. And as for the club final in January, it wouldn't be for me. Listen, as I say, Thomas's aren't going to give out. They won it, but I'd be trying to structure a bit better. Maybe the 1 year would work. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, you'd like to see a bigger crowd there as well, like, for the standard that they're delivering.
Yeah, you make some great points there about the club game. And just to finish on Thomas's as a whole, Cyril, you're obviously there on commentary, but you could see with the hurt Thomas's went through, as we referenced, Dunloy last year was a big sucker punch for them. But even the players at the full time whistle, they just wanted to embrace this. And I suppose this is what's so important when an All-Ireland comes around. It's about soaking it in and appreciating it because they had, obviously they've won that six in a row, but they have had some tough days as well in the All-Ireland semi-finals.
Oh yeah, like to really soak it in, and I'd say the big message was to enjoy it, especially for the younger lads that we're thinking to be coming every year. The older boys have gone through pain. Okay, they won the County Cup, but the County Cup to them was only kind of a stepping stone, as Chunky said there, like, and to really take it in, like, but you have to make one point, like, to be fair to them, they were missing players every other year. Those lads in. This was the first time in a long time that they went in with a full panel, and it made a terrible difference. Like, you need a full squad. These three or four lads are here to hold their own coming on at this level. So. They're really going to appreciate this. I think this will mean a lot more than the one a few years ago, because like what happened in between, and like again, they'll set their sights. They'll be going for seven in a row. There's no doubt about that. And I don't expect any retirements. Okay, if someone gets into it, I can't see any of them lads retiring from the game at all.
How important is it, Chunky, when you win that Club All-Ireland to appreciate it? Because you never know if you're going to be back there next year.
Ah, yeah, sure. Look at it. It's vitally important, but the truth being told, you probably won't appreciate it at the time, sometimes as much as you should, because you're in that bubble. You're in the bubble of winning. You don't want to lose. You want to get around. Like the truth being told, them lads will probably be, they're in such a bubble in Thomas's of hurling and winning. They'll probably enjoy this for a while, but they'll be eager enough to get back hurling again because that's what they love, and that's what they love. And winning is like a drug. Like for them, they just want to play and want to win, and it's going to make it tougher for everyone else trying to catch them. And but that's just it. And there's nothing a given that they're going to go out and win again. But yeah, they should enjoy it. As I say, looking at some of the videos, they seem to be enjoying it, and they're well and truly should be, because it's they're massive occasions. They're massive occasions, and you know what I mean? They're all involved there in the club. It looks like all the families and everyone seems to be involved in it. You can see from their homecomings and stuff, and it's great. It's great times, and looking for them, may it last as long as they can, because the good days won't last. You're only one good beaten down in fucking Ballymac Ward in a league game to realize that reality is only around the corner, and that's it. And there'll be plenty more. As I said, there'll be Clarenbridges and Lochrays and all them will be. Do you know what I mean? They'll be gunning for them. But no, they should just go and enjoy it now and regroup in a couple of months or whatever it is. And look, they've good lads over them as well. As I say, Kenneth Burke and these lads have the head screwed on. And they'll be back. It'll be an interesting championship, that's for sure, anyway.
Yeah, just absolutely remarkable what St. Thomas's have achieved. And as we said, a big congratulations to everyone there. But just before we do finish, obviously, we were talking there about Galway halfway through the podcast. They had that win over Dublin at the weekend in Parnell Park. You were a busy man, sir, at the weekend between Parnell Park and Croke Park. But Evan Ireland, he's looking really sharp early on, like even
Yeah,
from his 17 points.
he's very, very sharp. Pick corner forward, playing as a third midfielder, but his free taking was immaculate, unreal, brilliant. And he picked up a lot of loose ball. I think this is one of two new things about him. He's beginning to work more for the team, flashing around the ball, like going from side to side with it, laying it off. But any ball that you give him, like if he's loose, he'll score. Now, in the championship, that's a different thing. Now, Dublin had a lot of play, missed a lot of scores, and their free taker, Donal Burke, wasn't playing. It would have been a much closer, but Galway, like with the ball they had up front, they were scoring. That was a big difference. You can see they're working, as Chunky said, they're trying out, fellas. There's a lot of lads fighting for positions, and like even though you'd have a lot of lads coming back in, it's up to the other fellas coming back in to get their place in the team. There's going to be a lot of, like, it'd be hard enough to make that 26 or 30, a lot of good players in there. No injuries will come into the course, but I think they'll have a good season. I suppose you wouldn't like tonight or any night to go without wishing Kenneth Burke, not alone congratulate him, say, for Thomas's and that great win in his management team, but you wish him the best for the minor team this year coming. He's over them, like, and knowing him, like, they'll be well, they'll be well focused, they'll be well trained, and like, hopefully, he can carry the Midas touch straight through to a Galway minor team. It'll be nice to see them winning again.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been a busy man, it's safe to say, over the last few weeks. He was even referencing because they're going through the minor trials as well at the minute for that Galway minor hurling squad. But Chungi, has anyone else stood out to you early on for Galway in the Welsh Cup?
Well, if I wouldn't have seen a lot of the Welsh Cup games, you'd be following it on the papers and stuff. So, the one thing for me is I was listening to Henry recently, and he was talking about lads having the jersey. And I think he was saying back in his day that, he wouldn't have played an awful lot of the Welsh Cup, but now it's become a lot more important because you get a jersey and there's so many players looking to break into the team. You need to hold on to the jersey, just we'll reference Declan with Lachlan. He's in there, the confidence is up. It'll be quite hard to take his jersey, but the minute a lad comes in or he gets injured or form loses a bit of form, there's another lad in there looking to take your jersey. So that's the one positive thing for me. There seems to be a lot of new faces in there and a lot of the younger lads. But it's time now for the younger lads to step up as well. That because you're not going to win the All-Ireland without these younger lads stepping up. And do you know what I mean? That you can't be looking at the older lads, the Pádraic Mainneons and Cathal Mainneons now as well. It's time to let them lads go and hurl and not be leading as well. The likes of Evan Nyland, it's great to see him, hitting form and scoring 17 points and stuff. And it's important, the likes of his work rate and throwing the ball around, because that was probably something he needed to improve on. But by all accounts, he's done that. And I'd say Henry would, that's the way Ballyhale and Kilkenny always hurled with Henry Shefflin as well. So probably looking to get to a bit more of a style like that, just working hard for each other, the same as St. Thomas's the last day. And look, anything can happen. If you've got 15, 26 lads all rowing the one way and they're all in it, for the cause and not for themselves, then you have a massive chance, because we have the hurlers in Galway. We have one other thing we have is we have a lot of physicality with the likes of Garrows Mac and the Mannions and the likes of Daithí Burke, so. Because it bodes well for the year, and I genuinely think it could be a good year for Galway. But look, they know themselves it won't just happen, and there's good other teams out there. And but no, I'm hoping, as Sarah said, we get the Leinster title, the short term goal, get a Leinster title, and I think it could be a good year after that. And to be honest, I think they'll win the Leinster. I think they'll win it. I think they were a bit unlucky the last 2 years, but you can say unlucky, but they didn't finish the job, and these are the facts. And Henry and the lads know that. And but they'll be gunning to rectify that, and I think they will rectify it. But it's a long road, and there's a lot of players, and hopefully they'll push each other, and it'll be successful,
I'd say Paul, one of the big players that's come through in the Welsh Cup, he seems to be more happy at the back, is Kenan Fahey. He's playing wing back, centre back. He's far more effective, or seems to be. He would have done all his college and club hurling in the backs more or less anyway, but he's more natural face of the ball. He seems to be very relaxed and kind of is playing well every day. You know, he's on every day, and you know, the opposition mightn't be hectic, but it'll be interesting to see how he gets on in the, if he's in the half back then when the opposition is better. He's one of the lads that's kind of really shining.
Would you keep him there, sir?
I like someone like Shane Cooney come into it now. Sure, and Garrod McInerney played full back the last day. Might have got a little slight hamstring or tightness at half time, didn't come back on, and you have Dahi Burke. But that's the quality you're like, as Junkie referred to it there. Like, if you get the jersey and playing well, but if you don't get the jersey, like, it's up to you to hold it. There's quality stuff there. Like, Shane Cooney's played a great campaign centre back. And like, if they play to like Shane Cooney deep in the pocket and kind of cover in front of him, like, he could shine in a kind of a new system. Very, very good hurler. And he's back from injury, and I know the way he's kind of thinking. He this is a big, I'm talking big year for him, for the county. He'd probably be in 2 weeks' time, I'd say. Like, they won't stay out that long, these guys. They'd be back in sniping to get back in, maybe not for the first league game, but they'll want to get a game because the league game is coming very quick. Like, the first league game is probably next Sunday, the weekend after next. And after that, then it's kind of, you get a game or two, and then you get a break. But the thing good, like, the championship starts very quick after the league. So whoever gets the league jerseys, nearly nine possession is 9/10 of the law. Like, you know, so they'll all want to be on. No, they all won't be on, but that's the way it'll be. Like, and I really believe they'll have a good year. Like, they have, as I said before, like, they have the pieces. It's just like a jigsaw. It's just a matter of putting it together. No, it isn't that easy, but I think they will.
This Sunday, Wexford, do you think it's still important to win that World Cup final this weekend just to keep the momentum going and everything and go ahead?
Yeah, well, they'll probably find, Paul, that it'll be a little bit of a step up again. Wexford will be physical now. They had a very experimental team out the last day against Kilkenny. I think they're in back some of the big names for this game. I think Galway will stay experimental, like, because Galway have trouble, a lot of lads playing Fitzgibbon. Like, you had some of them playing last night, you had them playing tonight, tomorrow night. You know, they're kind of, you know, they're involved in all the colleges, as it happens. Like, UCG have a team, or NUIG have a team that's half the Galway team. So, like, a lot of lads tied up that way. So they'll be watching, like, the team might be picked and they might have to change. But I still, yeah, they would like to win. You know, definitely on the sideline, you can hear them pushing the lads. Like, it's a good habit to get into. And, like, you know, it's okay saying it's only the Welsh Cup, but if you're out there, whoever has the jersey, they'll want to win as well. It'll be more physical now, because Wexford will bring a physicality that Dublin or Offaly or Leeds and Laois weren't in a position to win. They'll have more done, and they'll have more of their first team done, because they mightn't have a full second team, if you know what I mean. Like, they're trying out for this. Wexford, the fellas will have, you'll find that they're hard. And you know, Carlow isn't that, it's what we know for Vinny, but in that from Wexford, a fair bit down. But I still expect Galway to win. Like, I still think it'd be nice to win it, and it'd be lovely to win the league as well. You can't beat winning, just get confidence. And once, like Junker referred to there with the young lads, if you get confidence, it's more than half. Like, they are good hurlers and they are fit. Once you get the confidence flowing, these lads could go from strength to strength.
Yeah, and Chungi, as Sir's saying there, like it just really does keep the confidence going if get a result and a trophy early in the year on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was something there. There was one or two of the guys I used to hurl with, not to mention them, but they used to always say, "Look at lads, if the game is worth playing, the game is worth winning." And that used to even go back to training. You know what I mean? If you play a training game, had to be tearing the heads off each other to win it, and that's just the mentality that teams are trying to get into that, you know, culture, you know, winning. Like, people, it's all about winning. Like, you know, lads, of course, it's about enjoyment. Like, and you have to enjoy it, but what better way to enjoy matches than winning them? You know what I mean? Like, it's I always said, like, sure, wouldn't you enjoy the match a lot more when you're winning? So yeah, win and win and winning. If it's a Walsh Cup final, you win it. You know, Leinster final, maybe the league is a stepping stone. Maybe we should try and, you know, it's not the most important thing, but like, with the players we're trying out, wouldn't it be great for the likes of young Declan McLaughlin and them lads, that if they could work through a league and get to even a league final and then prepare them for the Leinster final? You know, it's a building stone, but yeah, absolutely. If you're getting to a Walsh Cup final, you want to win it, win it. And I know Henry Shefflin, like, Jesus, we all know, like, Henry Shefflin throughout his time playing, he wanted to win, and that's it. Simple as that. And if you don't, you go back to the drawing board, go back to training to win the next day. But you always want to win. Simple as that.
Yeah, so that's Galway and Wexford this Sunday in the World Cup final. Galway then get their league campaign underway against Westmeath in the opening round. But that's all we do have time for on today's show. A big thank you to Ciara Farrell and Chunky Hayes for coming on.